All right. I hope everyone has a copy of this. Okay, I'll just be going through this, and after this, we're having break into groups to actually share a little bit of our experiences and also some of the verses. All right. Don't say, "Oh, Brother Johnny, I don't really know." Never mind. It's okay. We learn together. Okay, we learn together. If you look at the introduction, I just want to read that. And then after, we turn to some passages of Scripture. Today we're going to talk about scriptural source for personal battles. Scriptural source for personal battles. I'll just read the introduction first. As soon as you are washed in Christ's blood and clothed in His righteousness, in other words, as soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you must begin to hew your way through a lane of enemies right up to the eternal throne. That simply means that the moment you get saved, it's not a bed of roses. That's what he's trying to say. Okay? This is our dear friend Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he's just listing down the reality of the Christian life. The moment you become a Christian, the reality of the Christian life is that you will be faced with a multitude of spiritual enemies. Okay? You have to hew your way. The idea is you have to cut your way through. You have to really, in a sense, in infantry terms, bash through. You got to really go through a list of enemies all the way up to the eternal throne. Every foot of the way will be disputed. Not an inch will Satan yield to you. And this is an important reality that many Christians have to come to terms with, because if we don't, oftentimes we get discouraged, we get disappointed, we get disillusioned. We say, "Oh, people tell me that after I become a Christian, everything will be nice and wonderful, God will be with me and all His promises, and now I'm facing defeat, and now I'm disappointed with life and all that." Okay? The reality that we need to realize as Christians is that the moment we accept Christ, we make Satan angry. Alright, he's lost someone. And what he tries to do is, since he cannot get you, he will make your life entirely miserable and useless to God. Okay, and that's where as a Christian, we have to realize the reality. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 22. Okay, Luke 22, one of the experiences of the apostles. I believe the Bible is the word of God. It not only gives us situations in the Bible, but it presents literal heavenly truth that God wants to show to us so that we can understand how we can live this Christian life, all right, on earth. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, this is towards the end when the Lord Jesus is going to be arrested. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the Bible says, let's read together 31 and 32. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." In this particular passage, we see the Lord Jesus Christ revealing a very important truth to Simon. Okay, Simon, we know, is very impulsive, very proud, very, "I can do it, you know. Lord, no one is going to take you away." Because Jesus has told everyone, the disciples say, "Look, I'm going to be crucified and people are going to take me and going to scourge me and I'm going to be suffering and die." And of course, Peter said, "No, I'm going to die. Even if everyone will leave you, I will not leave you." That's what Peter said. But Jesus told Peter this: "Simon, Simon," which is another name for Peter, "Satan has desired you, that he may sift you as wheat." I want us to understand the intention of Satan is to disable every Christian. Satan's desire is to cripple every Christian. Okay? Sift you as wheat has the idea of removing you from who you actually are. Many Christians are discouraged. Many Christians are in condemnation. Many Christians are disillusioned. Many Christians have been stumbled by what people do. Okay? And it is all strategies of the devil, because his main intention is to have you, is to disable you, okay? But I want us to understand the Savior's plan. And then there's an encouragement, because although Satan wants to destroy us, guess what? We have Jesus as our intercessor, okay? But Bible says, Satan had desired to have you, that he may save you as sweet. Verse 32, the encouragement for us as Christians: "I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And when Jesus prays for us, we can never fail. Amen? When Jesus intercedes for us, we can never fail as we yield to Him. And notice, what is Jesus praying for? Based on the verse, what is Jesus praying for? Satan wants to destroy you, your Christian life. Jesus says, I'm praying for you. For what? That your faith fail not. I want us to recognize the reality of this too. Every time the first thing a Christian have when discouragement comes, you know, or a trial happens, something happens, you know what's the first thing they will always do? Why, God? You know why? Because it strikes at the very heart of what we believe. We believe God is with us. We believe that God. But the very first reaction oftentimes is our faith is affected. We get affected. Okay, how many of you have had experience before? When things happen, things don't go your way, first thing, Christian thing starts going out. Oh, maybe I don't attend this, I don't do this, I don't do this anymore, I don't want, because God has failed me. Why should I do so much for God, and when all these things are not in my favor, that kind of thing. Have you been there before? And sometimes we just kind of, the question we need to ask ourselves is, you know, the Bible tells us, every trial, okay, this is a reality of the Christian life and of life itself. If you are a Christian, every time a trial happens, it is always a trial of your faith. Because no one will say, this difficulty in my family happened, I think I quit my job. Very rarely will it happen. But no, this trial in my life happened, I think I canceled my bank account. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? These are the things we actually put a lot of emphasis on. But you know, when the trial comes, we don't actually think about all these earthly things. You know, the first thing we think about is, why is God like that? You know what that is? Satan wants to pull off doubt to destroy your faith. And it is a reality of the Christian life, okay? But the Lord Jesus actually says, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Can I say this? The fact that many of you are still Christians today, the fact that you are still walking with God today, or trying to, is because Jesus has prayed for you that your faith fail not. How many of you know of Christians who were Christians, but today say, I'm not going to church anymore? Why? Their faith has failed. Has the Lord Jesus prayed for them? I'm sure He has. But you know what? God gave a lot of grace. But when you don't use that grace, you cannot move forward. Alright, so I want us to understand this. Satan's desire is to destroy us, disable us based on God's word. Jesus says, I'm praying that your faith fail not. So I want us to be very sensitive that every time a trial comes, guard that faith. Okay? And one of the ways I do it for my own life is this. The moment a trial comes, I say, Lord, it's a test. It's a test of how strong I will stand for you. It's a test of how I'm going to stand on your word. You know, you need to guard your faith. And every trial is an opportunity for us to build our faith. Okay, so another point in this particular verse is, Satan has desired you, that he may save you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted. The idea of conversion here is not non-Christian becoming a Christian. But when there's a change of your mind, when there's a strengthening of your heart from weak to strong, when you're converted, you know what God says? I want you to teach your brethren also. I want you to strengthen your brethren. And it is God's will for all the trials we go through and overcome, it is God's will for you to always teach someone else, another Christian. All of us, I'm sure, at this time, may be going through some trials of some sort, big or small. Would I be right? Some things in our lives that you just cannot have control over, and you find that, oh no. And many of us kind of bear the burden, and sometimes it may create some things like frustration, and then why can't this happen, and why can't that person respond this way, and why can't my, we carry this burden. And you know, unless we realize that there are promises and victories in the Bible for us, we will continuously be in that state. Okay? How many of you have known of Christians who, even though they go through a terminal illness like cancer, for example, live with joy in their hearts? I shared many times before, I shared with me and Brother Tay Leong went to visit someone who was supposed to have liver failure and kidney failure and all that. And we wanted to go and encourage him, you know. You know, he was lying in the bed there, and we're there supposed to pray for him, read the Bible to him. You know, we came out, we are encouraged, because he said, if it is God's will for me in this bed, I'll be here. It's like, whoa, tears in my eyes. No, I was being encouraged by someone in the bed who was supposed to say, thank God he's still alive today. That was many, many years ago already. But you know, God is good. God is good. But as Christians, we need to recognize that God is good. Amen? Sometimes we forget. And here, we see an encouragement that even in... You know, Satan is going to destroy Peter's faith very drastically when he actually denied Jesus Christ. Right? To the point, turn to John chapter 21. See the outcome of Peter's trial. In John chapter 21, and verse number 1 to 3, I just read quickly so you have the context. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is already after the resurrection, okay? And on this wise, this is the way he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter, the one who Jesus talked about in Luke 21, what did he say? I go a fishing. You know what he's saying? I'm going fishing, guys. What was Peter's original occupation? He was a fisherman. Then Jesus called him from life of fishing, right, to fishing man, right? They got discouraged. What happened here? I'm going back to my past life. I'm going fishing, guys. How are you? And you know, the other guys, we go fishing too. There's a huge discouragement. Simon Peter, especially, because the Bible says he wept bitterly when Jesus looked at him after the betrayal. Can you imagine? You betray the very person you love. Then after that, Simon Peter said, I'm going back to the world. Nothing left for me. I'm destroyed. I blew it. You know, there's nothing left for me. Until Jesus Christ came in. Amen. Then after Jesus came, come guys, come and have breakfast. And later on, Jesus, of course, you read the rest of the passage, Jesus restored Peter. That's our hope. Okay, as Christians, that's our hope. So can I encourage you, even with this, by way of introduction, sometimes we may fall. When there's life, there's always hope. Because Christ is alive. Amen. We serve a living Savior that's always willing to bring us back. Okay? Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Any questions, please stop me. Okay? So we saw Satan's plan, the Savior's prayer, and for the saints it's the perseverance and conversion after we need to strengthen the brethren. But then in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, after we are Christians again, Paul in the book of Romans tell us that when trials come, we should rejoice in it. Okay? Let's read verse 3. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Ready? 1, 2, go. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Many years ago, I was studying this passage to teach and realized that there's actually a process that many Christians go through. When you just imagine you going through a trial, a difficulty in your life, God says what? The tribulation's goal is to work up patience. So in other words, just imagine this is an entrance, okay? On top of the entrance is called trials and temptations. So as you go through that, the entrance, within there, the process is to increase patience. Okay? And by the way, you have a choice. At the sides are all exits. So which means that as you go through the trial, the goal to achieving patience is that you have to go through the whole length of the trial. And God knows how much you can go through. Amen? For some people, God says, okay, you go through 10 meters of trial. Another person, you go through 1 kilometer of trial. Because God knows that you can take that. Alright? But in between, there will always be exits. The way to work up entire patience that God has for us is to go through the entire process. But God says, sometimes, you know, if you can't take it, well, you just exit. You know what? When you exit, you know what? You go to the starting line again. And God may shorten the course. But the goal of tribulation is to work out patience. What is patience? What's the definition of patience? Anyone? I say it many times. Patience is long suffering. Okay, what else? More specifically, it's enduring under circumstances in which you have no control over. Agree? How many of you have sat at the bus stop waiting for your friend? He said at 1 o'clock. Now it's already 3:30. You can't control. In the days when we don't have handphone, it's even worse. Even got handphone, sometimes low bat, also cannot get through. Or sometimes SMS, if depending on which service provider, is delayed. How many of you send SMS today? The person received yesterday or not yesterday? Tomorrow, a few hours later, and just to, we have no control. But you know what? Even in those situations, God wants to create a certain sense of calmness and trusting God. That patience, okay? So God wants to work patience. You know, as you work through as you're going through the trial, you learn a lot of things, right? As you learn a lot of things, at the end of the process, you have patience. The Bible says what? After that, after patience, you get what? What's the next thing you get? Experience. You know why many... Then it dawned on me many years ago, many Christians still continually stay where they are. It's because they are unwilling to go through the entire process. And so what they've learned is to complain. What they've learned is, I cannot trust God. What they learned is, God, please change my situation. But actually God says, no, I want to change you. And then there's this tussle and struggle and say, okay, you haven't gone through it. And so many Christians actually go through that. But God says, look, let patience in James chapter 1 have a perfect work. The word perfect means have a maturing work, have a perfecting work. So, trials, the process is to create patience. After we've gone through the entire process, the many lessons we learn creates what? Experience. That's why it's a joy to speak to maybe Christians who have, maybe they're Christian for many years, you know, especially those Christians, for example, Brother So, who's a missionary to China, he's continuing to serve the Lord. You know, you sit with him and he share with you his experiences as he served the Lord in the Middle Kingdom and trying to win many of these Chinese folks to Christ and the difficulties he's experienced, but also the victories and the patience that God takes him through. It's a joy, and your faith is built. After experience, so you know the things, you've learned the things, it creates what? The next thing? Hope. Some Christians have a lot of hope. You know why? They have allowed God to take them through. Some Christians say, the moment trials come, oh, liao, finish. God wants to create patience, experience, and hope. You know, as God takes you through the different trials, He wants us to learn this so that, you know what? For a younger Christian that comes out, you can encourage that younger Christian too. Okay? So, God wants to create that in our lives so that we as a Christian can actually teach someone else. Our faith is not to be hidden. Remember Jesus, even Jesus even said, after you have been converted, strengthen your brethren. Peter, you know what you're going to go through. After you've gone through this, I want you to teach your brethren also. All right? Any questions? That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Yes. Yes. Real life. Oh. Okay. Supposed to think, okay, I think anyone else maybe have some experiences that you want to share, maybe in a short, concise form, you know? Just go ahead, you know, don't be shy, just share. I have many, but anyone? Just share, just put your hand and just. Come on, the mature Christians, let's teach the younger ones. Otherwise, you disobey God. No. Just share. Come. How many of you, okay, maybe start here. How many of you actually have some, how many of you actually understand this passage? Put your hand. Because you have an experience behind that. Come on, put your hand. Come on, put your hand. Yes, you do. Okay, I think many of us, don't be paise. We're in the community of God's people. You don't have to be shy. But anyone just want to share how. Okay, maybe I'll just share. I'll share first and maybe someone can share. I was in the army, specifically. I was in OCS. I failed miserably in one of my mission, and it was supposed to be a defining mission for me to actually get to the senior term. Last time was junior and senior term only. So junior term is 3 months. After you pass the junior term, then you go to senior term of 6 months. In the defining Tekong mission, 1 month I failed, or 1 week
miserably. Okay, miserably.
And after that, of course, I was supposed to be at the ambush point at 12 noon. I was there at 4 p.m. Failed. Mission completely failed. Right? Well, at that point of time, a lot of things went through my mind. How, you know, paise, you know. Yeah, you graduate as a sergeant or whatever, but, you know, you just paise, you know, you've gone through it. All your dreams are dashed at that point. Then, as I was actually going through, you know, low morale, you know, wanting to, how. Then it dawned on me that God actually taught us a lesson at the initial stage of the army, whereby our captain actually told us that it's not finished until it's finished. So God brought back a lesson that the trial, whatever, is, see, they have not declared me out of course yet, right? So which means I'm still in the course. And so the lesson I learned there was, eventually I passed the course, okay? Because one of the things that God actually worked in my heart and taught me was, it's not finished until my instructor tells me it's finished. So in the meantime, regardless of the failure, push on. Do your best in the remaining exercises. Just do your best. There was not many. And thank God at the end I passed. Okay? So what I learned from that is, I can share with you and everyone else, sometimes a big failure comes in, your dreams are dashed. But you need to look carefully, is the whole thing finished? If it's not finished, then keep on trusting God and keep on doing your best. Okay? And so, anyone who, I mean, so then, translating then, when I became an officer, and so there was another, so can I fall out? Why? Tired. Tired, you only 500 meters, you push on. So at the end, so I was able to use my experience to get this soldier to push on. And see there, at the end of the running, say, how okay now? Yeah, actually okay, sir. So next time you push on and say. So I used my experience, knowing that they can actually push on just a little bit more. Then for him to actually finish that course. Yes. Anyone else have any other experiences you want to share? Does that make sense? Yeah. Don't be shy. Okay. The Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. If you have a word of encouragement in the book of Acts, let him share with someone else. Anyone else? Just maybe share something that may have happened. Go ahead and open your mouth. Come on. A lot of people are looking at me, so I'm just going to call names now. Suddenly no one look at me. Where's Hong Ling? Maybe just not you. I have many more experiences, but I'm sure you also have. Okay, it's not just me, but everyone also have their own Christian life experience. So please feel free to share Brother Henry over coffee afterwards, okay? So to strengthen his faith. You know, we need to strengthen one another's faith. Then the experience that we go through is also to be shared with someone else, all right? Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I'll just nail this down because this is what Paul, the Apostle Paul, encourages us to do because this is what he actively does. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, I'll just read from verse 3. Let's read together, okay, verse 3 and verse 4. Ready? 1, 2, go. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Okay, it's just straightforward. You know, very straightforward, right? So thank God for the comfort we receive so that we can comfort someone else who's going through the same thing. Okay? And sometimes may not be exactly the same thing, but the principles, like what Brother Song Ling shared, it could be just the fact that God is faithful. You can trust God. He will carry you through. There's a song many years ago, if Christ carried the weight of the world on his shoulders at the cross, I know my brother that he will carry you through. Okay, so that's something for us to remember. Okay, any questions there? Just as a background, because now it's your turn to discuss a little bit, just kind of break it into small groups. Okay, you'll find that below here are listed some of the battlefields that Satan wants to use to destroy us as Christians. Okay, and example, anger, anxiety, bitterness, burnout, complaining, confusion about direction, don't know where we need to go in life, critical spirit, discontentment, discouragement, disobedience to God, doubting God, envious of what others have, fear, gossip, materialism, feelings of sometimes, oh, I'm not good enough, inadequacy, laziness, loneliness. Some people feel very lonely even though they're in the big crowd, lying, pride, rationalizing instead of obeying God. I often call this the butting God. You know, I know God is faithful, but butting God. Rebellion sometimes, resentment, restlessness, self-centeredness, worry, guilt, conviction, guilt or conviction, guilty feelings even after you have confessed. All right, and then lastly, impatience. Okay, there's actually 29, and I don't think we want to go through all, but I want to actually divide us into different groups. Okay, so that we can actually just take some. And the goal is this: for the groups that assign that one, all you need to do is actually to within there, just come up with a verse. Okay. Because in Matthew chapter 4, let's turn back there. Matthew chapter 4, and verse number 3, it is an important lesson of the Christian life, okay? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And when the tempter, the devil, Satan, came to him, Jesus, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Okay, so there was a temptation, a trial in the Lord Jesus' life. Okay, Satan wanted Jesus to change the stones into bread. But in verse 4, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" So we know in this particular temptation of Jesus, Jesus met Satan's trials with the word of God. Okay? You can never defeat Satan with your own rationalization. You cannot defeat Satan with your explanation. You know why? He's wiser than you. He's got 6,000 years or 6 to 10,000 years experience, and he has known through every excuse in the book. But the only way that we can defeat Satan is through the word of God. And so what we want in this exercise later on, to be able to come up with certain verses immediately for this different thing, and then to write it down, so that at least we actually have what we call spiritual swords, all right, for the battles that you face. You know, some of us may have some of these battles in our lives. Some people may be resentful. Some people may feel inadequate about certain things. Some people may have fear in their lives that, oh, what about the future? What's going to happen? Some of you are anxious about what's going to happen. Some of you are burnt out. So how do we address that? You know, many Christians who do not know God's plan actually fall out. And that's what Satan wants. But what we want to do is at least equip with basic information from the Bible so that we can learn this, okay? So what I want to do is actually to divide us probably into 29, so we can divide actually into now for 7 groups, I think. So each group about 4 maybe. Ten? So maybe number of 7 groups, right? Okay. Number of 1 to 7. Shall we do that? Or maybe. Yeah, la. Okay, la. Just around. La. Okay. So maybe. Sorry? Okay, maybe if 4 of your family. Okay, family. And then maybe if. Group 1. Okay, before they share, let me just... okay, is everyone ready? Okay, just before they share, I just want to give an illustration of the the necessity for this. Okay, there was one time Spurgeon was actually saying, you know, when the Holy Spirit wants to help us in times of our crisis, and so let's say a crisis comes out and we've got to face it, you know, the Holy Spirit will do, wait, I'll help you. And He will go into the wardrobe of our life and He'll open up the wardrobe. Okay? And then if He just see hanging Genesis 1 verse 1, and if, let's say you're facing a temptation to steal, for example, you're tempted to steal. Okay? And then the Holy Spirit wants to help you overcome the stealing, but He goes into your life and He opens the cupboard in your life, and then hanging from your cupboard is Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then another verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And then another verse that talks about something else, and the Holy Spirit may have to come and say, I got no ammunition to fight for you. Okay? Or if you have that in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not steal. Directly relating to the situation. I want us to understand two Greek words in what you're doing. Okay? The Word of God, in general, the revelation is called Logos, the Word of God. Okay? However, in the word that applies specifically to your situation, it's called the Rhema word. I know this word has been bandied around by the Pentecostals and Charismatics, especially the Word Faith movement, that play up to the point that we can become God, we can't. But God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the word to deal with the situation that we are facing. Does that make sense? This is what we're trying to do. To be able to understand that God actually has spiritual weapons for every trial and every test and every temptation that we will ever face. Okay, this is not an exhaustive list, so hopefully we'll at least get some weapons, okay, today. All right, for those who are not doing the other one, you can actually write down the verses that the group will present. Okay. Group one, anger.
Hello. Our first one is anger. So we have two verses, Ephesians 4 verse 26. It is, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So it's like, if you have angry at someone or what, then you have to go and settle it before the day is over. So like you settle it that day. Then the other verse is Psalms chapter 37 verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So is to this is telling us to do your best to stay away from anger.
Okay. Any questions on that? Questions? Ephesians 4:26, Psalm 37, verse 8. If we can actually spend whole hour on just one verse. Alright? But at least if you but any question, quick questions to clarify that? Just very quickly for Ephesians 4:26, the Bible actually says, be angry and sin not. Alright? Anger is not a sin. Anger is not a sin. Okay? God gets angry at sin. But the principle is, when the person has resolved it, okay, don't hold that anger, because otherwise it becomes sin. Alright? If you hold it too long, it actually eats up into your life. That's why in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Okay? So that's anger. The next one, anxiety, being anxious.
Hello. The first verse is Matthew 6. Actually, we wrote that verse 25 to 34,
okay.
But I just read one verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So we don't have to worry.
Okay.
Also the last verse. Take therefore, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Okay.
So we are very precious in the Lord's eyes. If the Lord can take care of even the birds in the air, we are the sons of, the children of God. So what more would He do for us? Amen. So we don't have to worry.
What's another word for anxiety?
Worry.
Worry, okay, is actually another one. Okay, good. Any questions? Okay, next one, bitterness. If you're experiencing bitterness, how do you overcome this?
We have two verses for bitterness. One in Ephesians. Hello. One in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. And another verse in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 11 to 15. Hebrews 12, verse 11 to 15. The Bible says, 14 to 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Okay. These are just some verses that we're giving to you so that hopefully you'll be able to remember them and also just write down. Okay, next one, the next group two. Oh, sorry, last one. Burnout.
Yeah. The first verse we have is a familiar verse, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. So there is rest in Christ. And there's another verse, which is Isaiah 40, from verse 29 to 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So God gives us strength to carry on.
Amen. So you're feeling tired about serving the Lord, remember, you need to go to God for strength. Alright, the next one, complaining. Complaining, the Jun family devotions. Okay, the whole family. Brother Jun, okay. Maybe we just the topic and then after the verse. Okay.
We have the here is complaining, wherein our verse is on Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Okay. Actually, I don't know, it's a straightforward, so we don't need to more on anything that's happening to us.
But do rather. Things, yeah. Okay. So, Philippians chapter 2, verse?
Philippians 2:14.
2:14. Yeah. The Bible says, do all things without murmuring.
And on conclusion, about direction, it says in Proverbs 3, chapter 5, verse 7. No, Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7. In all the. Proverbs 3. 5:7 says there.
Can we just give one verse so that at least people can hang on to that one?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Okay. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Okay.
So. If we are not so sure of what's happening to us, we can fully go to God directly and ask His direction about all the things that is happening to us. And likewise, we should not look in our own capability, but rather go to God for the proper direction.
You're confused about direction, like what Brother Jun has mentioned, we learn to just go to the Lord, all right, for guidance. And also, even in this, when you're confused about direction, as you go to the Lord for guidance, remember, multi or counselors, their safety, all right. You can speak to other brethren as well, so that they can give you some insights as well. Okay? The next one?
Then for the critical spirit, we chose 1 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Okay. So that is critical spirit. So how do you overcome that? How do you overcome? What is a critical spirit? Anyone? This is, I was looking through this, not an easy one. You have to define what is a critical spirit and then what is the Bible verses that actually give you that. Anyone? Huh? Matthew chapter 7. Yeah, judge not that ye be not judged. Yeah. Having a critical spirit. Okay. Judge not that ye be not judged. One of the things is Remember, God didn't say that you cannot judge, but you need to judge righteous judgment. Okay? That's one thing. Another principle is Matthew 7, where we judge, we don't judge what? Self-righteously. Meaning that you have a beam in our own eye, we go and point our fingers at another. God says, get rid of the beam. The idea of a beam there literally is a telephone pole. Okay? If you have a telephone pole in your eye, you cannot see the speck in your brother's eyes. Alright? So God says, you can judge righteously. Okay? Judge sin. If a brother sins, then you have to tell the brother. Okay? So being a critical, God says, don't judge. Judge not, you be not judged. Another passage is Romans chapter 14. It says, why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou stand not thy brother? For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? So the judgment, we need to be very careful. Next one, discontentment. If you're discontented, what verses can you use to overcome that?
For discontentment, right, we have Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affections on the things of, on things above, not on things on the earth.
Okay.
So it's like, if you're feeling discontented, then like just look above, like look to God, and like know that we have a lot more when we get to heaven.
Okay, so that hopefully will help us to understand actually, we actually have a lot. Christians, please realize this. We actually have, during the message, I'm going to teach about God's grace, but we actually have everything that God ever had for us. In other words, we are rich. We are super rich. Okay. Just that how we want to see that riches. All right, set our things on. Any other verses? If not, let's move on. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10, I believe. Philippians 4, verse 11. Okay, 11, verse 13. I'm sure you heard all these verses before. It's just make sure you know where it is so that whenever that comes up, you can bring up. Okay? Okay, next one, discouragement. Discouragement. Just read the verse.
Got four verses for discouragement, but I took particularly the Colossians 3, verse 21, that fathers provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. God's Father as a role model, or father as natural fathers, or this one is addressed to both parents, that we should be in guidance with our children.
Okay.
Because sometimes when we are in angry mode, instead of giving the guidance to our children, we are like scolding them or we are the we have to encourage them instead of giving them words that they have the tendency to be discouraged.
Okay.
So, like...
maybe generally. What's the next verse? Maybe?
Okay. For... There's also one verse, Isaiah 42, verse 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth.
Okay. Isaiah 42,
verse 4. And another one for Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, saying the people is greater and taller than we, the cities are great, and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there.
Okay. The one would be Numbers, right? Deuteronomy. Okay, the one is actually the child spies, okay, who discouraged the brethren when they saw the giants. Okay, so, but how do we overcome discouragement? What other verses do you have? Yes.
There's another verse that we have is in 1 Samuel chapter 13,
verse 6.
And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every one for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Amen. Okay. So when everything else fails, everything tumbles down, just like a child, you know what he does? What does a child do when he's so discouraged, everything else fails, you know, what does he do? Just run back to daddy and hug his giant legs, right? That's how a child encourages himself in the dad, okay? And the dad is there to pet and say, it's okay, everything will be fine, all right? We all face discouragement sometimes. We need to know many, many verses on encouragement. Let's turn to one, Isaiah 43. Okay, just now. Isaiah 43. Right, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. I memorized this when I was a secondary school student. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. The word dismayed in the Hebrew means don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your courage. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, or help thee, or will uphold thee with that what? Right hand of my righteousness. Everything embedded in my right hand, the right thing to do, I will uphold you. Okay? So when you go through the discouraging times, ensure firstly your life is right with God, and then you can actually depend on God fully to lead you. Okay, the next one. Disobedience.
For disobedience, we have two verses. The first one is 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams.
Okay, God says it's better to obey than give sacrifices. All right, so just remember that whenever you have tempted to disobey. Next one.
And the next one is Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Yes, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Another verse I would like to add, John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Obedience is an expression of our love for God. Okay? So if you're tempted to disobey, remember, it's a measure of our love for Jesus Christ. When we obey or disobey God. Okay. The next one, we're trying to move a little bit faster. Okay. Doubt. When if you have doubt.
We have John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me.
Okay. When you're doubting God. Okay.
Then also in our daily life, when we pray and we don't see result. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22.
Let's read first.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
Okay. Well, the Lord Jesus is encouraging us, when you pray, sometimes people feel it's just presumption. You know, when you pray for something, act as if it's going to come to pass. Okay, one illustration is if you pray, the farmer prays for rain. Okay, let's say there's two farmers. Both farmers pray for rain. One farmer goes out to plow his field, another farmer stay at home. So which farmer do you think had faith? If you are praying for rain for your crops, you go out to plow your field or you stay at home. Genuine faith, well, I believe God's going to answer. I'm going out to plow my field. And just wait for God to send the rain. All right. So the idea is not to work up the belief. The idea is, Lord, I'm going to just trust you and I'm going to do consistent to that faith. That one, that particular verse actually encourages us that sometimes we are so discouraged we can't see anything. The encouragement is for us to say, hey, I'm still here. I'm still here. Even though you cannot keep your word, I can. And that's to put our faith in God more than what we can do. Okay? Does that make sense? That's a good reminder of the faithfulness of God. God is always, always faithful. Amen. Well, thanks for that.
There's another verse that I have for doubt. It's found in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, you shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe, and ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Okay, so basically the encouragement to trust God. Okay, especially sometimes when we doubt God. True. Okay, I'm just looking at the time as well. It's already past. But what we might do is, how should we finish this? It's a lot more. Two things we can do and keep to next week, but I feel that we should. Let me just give you some of the verses I have. All right, then maybe you all can supplement that. All right. When you're envious of what people have, okay, 1 Corinthians 13:4, the Bible says, charity envies not. Okay, there's a clear reminder, if you truly love someone, because envy has to do with, you know what's envy? Envy means, I see someone have it, I'm not satisfied, I don't have, he have, I'm going to make sure he don't have. That's envy. Does that make sense? Envy is, I don't have, that person have, I'm jealous that that person have, I'm going to do all I can to make sure that that person don't have. Or, I got more than him. That's envy. Does that make sense? Okay, so charity envious not, alright? The next one is fear. In Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because the Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13:6. For gossip, Colossians 4:6. Be careful of the things that come out from our mouth. Colossians 4:6. Materialism, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? Feelings of inadequacy. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Jesus says what? To Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes you say, I cannot do it. Jesus says, I know you can't, but I can, so trust me. Alright? Laziness. Laziness, a reminder, laziness will lead to what? Poverty, alright? Proverbs chapter 6, as I heard. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, how do we overcome laziness? Everything that you do, do it to the glory of God. As Christians, we have to do things to the glory of God. Okay, if you're feeling lazy, oh, I feel lazy, but no, I'm a Christian, I need to glorify God. Let that verse perk us up, alright? Loneliness, sometimes we feel lonely. What verse do I have? Okay, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 and 4. Let me just read that. When you feel lonely, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, God says, you go through whatever trials, if you're all alone, I'm right there with you. Okay, as a Christian, God is right there with you. You may not see Him, but we can trust Him. All right? Our God is omnipresent. He's always with us. Lying, okay, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, you have that? You want to read that? Is it with you? Okay, the context is important. Speak truth one with another. Why? We are members of one another. Okay, that simply means we want to speak the truth, so there's healthy conversation going through the membership, healthy conversation going through the family, healthy conversation going through the family of God. We are members one of another. Therefore, speak truth, because lies will bring corruption. Okay? Next one is pride. What do you have for pride? This one? Maybe just one? Only by pride comes contention, alright? Remember, if there's contention, pride is definitely there, okay? So remember that. In verse 12 of Matthew 23, let me just read, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That is the words of the Lord Jesus. Okay, the next one, rationalizing instead of obeying God. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. if you feel like rebelling against God, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, remind ourselves, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Okay, God will deal with rebellion against His word. If you are resentful, those good, what do you have for resentment? Which is what? Just read it. So you're feeling resentful, being critical of someone else, resent someone else for what he's doing or saying to you. Which verse would you turn to help you? New commandment I give unto you. New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Okay, agape covers a lot of things. Okay, specifically 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5, the Bible says, so it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Okay, if you're resentful, God says genuine love will not be easily provoked. Self-centeredness, Philippians 2 verse 3, if you ever want to think about yourself, God says, Paul says, Philippians 2 3, let every man think on the things of others, not only on things of themselves. Okay, Philippians 2 and verse 3. If you're worried, Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Okay, if you're worried about the future, God knows everything that we need. If you're guilty or you're convicted by sin and it's heavy, what do you do? If you're convicted by sin, what do you do? Confess it. 1 John 1 9. Okay, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to confess. He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What about after, if you already confess, and many Christians feel this, and they still feel guilty, what do you do? Which verse do you use? If you already confess your sin, you know you're wrong, you confess your sin, but you still feel guilty, what do you do? Which is? Okay, God wants, well, we pray, God, please renew this right spirit. I'm still feeling guilty, create a right spirit within me. Another verse you can use, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Okay, the Bible says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. Amen. If you are willing to confess your sin and say, God, I still feel guilty, God says, I know you're guilty, but it's over, I've forgiven you, I'm greater than you. So you can put your trust in me, okay, because I've accepted you. Okay, the last one, impatience. I like this one. Let's turn to Psalm 31, verse 14. Psalm 31. If you're impatient about things, you just cannot wait. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15. All right, then we'll just quickly wrap up this one. Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15. If you're there, read together with me, all right? If you're not, that's okay. Just listen. Ready? One, two, go. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. The phrase, my times are in Thy hands, is an important one. Remember, when you feel impatient about things, remember God. The timing is in God's hands. We need to wait on Him. Okay, so let's turn the next page. What should you do with this? I'm sure you have written down the verses. Please don't throw it away. Please don't leave it behind in church. Okay, be honest about it. If it's your problem, if you feel that I'm always a worry hawk. Okay, be honest about it. Meditate on these verses pertaining to your situation. Learn and understand the meaning. Ask the Lord to give you strength to obey the verse as it is. And then literally have an action plan to do what you have to learn from that verse. Okay, so this is what you can do with those verses. Remember God's word. Once we know the truth will make us free. And that's important. Alright, so sorry it took a bit of time. Any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Then we have at least 15 minutes of fellowship and getting to know our new friends. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy precious word. I know we're a bit rushed, but I believe, Father, somewhere along the line there will be some learning that thy Holy Spirit is going to impart to us. I pray, Father, that every Christian who is here, who have seen thy word, will use it, Lord, in their lives, so that, God, they truly will understand the power of your written word for us to change us from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord, for the contribution of every member, and every visitor, and everyone. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us with this word. And as Jesus had victory over Satan in the temptations in the wilderness, may we have victory, Father, in our lives. We thank you. Prepare our hearts for the worship service at 11. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.